Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hillman. Good evening, everyone. This is Jennifer Hillman, and it's always a pleasure to, on Thursday night, because I get to spend a little time with you. And the lines are open. If you want to call in and talk about anything, please feel free to call in. And the number is 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756 is the other number. And the interesting thing I have been noticing is a lot of people around me are having animal signs or visits, and they don't quite understand. So I thought I would talk a little bit about animals and how they really can affect and are really great, wonderful teachers for everybody to really recognize. Each animal, according to shamanic and many different studies, there's an energy with them. They teach us by their own behaviors how to be. The one thing that animals have that humans really are learning, especially with the domestic pets like the dog and the cat, they really do have unconditional love, and they are teaching us this daily. I tend to have big dogs. I have Akitas, actually, and each one of my Akitas has always taught me something. And it is amazing how much they have taught me to be gentle, when to be strong, when to stand up for myself. And they also reflect back at me the attitudes I'm kind of giving them. So you can get it in human form, and then you can also get it from your animals. Your animals in your home definitely understand where you are a lot better than a lot of humans. Because they do feel that energy, they feel the tension, they feel the stress, they feel the joy. And it is amazing. I have one dog, Josie, who is just the sweetest dog. Everybody loves Josie. Yet when I would get upset and angry, and I did at one time have quite the temper, it's really dissipated quite a bit. But she actually would jump the fence if I got angry. She did not like that energy at all. And she would run. And it really reflected that people don't like people who are angry. They don't want to be around them. So if you find yourself in a space where you don't have too many people around you, including your animals, then you got to really look and say, okay, what am I doing? And you can't blame everybody else for the dog keep running away. There's something going on within the home that's making the dog or the cat go away. Sometimes I have done animal readings and the cat actually just wanted to go for a walk and then, oops, got locked out. So decided to go for an adventure since it was out and about anyway. But it all depends on the situation. For the most part, animals are really great reflective energies that we can see and understand. But it also can be wild animals. And I've had some wonderful adventures. I have a big window in my office, and I'm always looking out there. And recently I've had some very interesting sightings of birds, like a bluebird. It is not seen around too much in Arizona, and I had one outside my window. So when I see something rare, I pay attention. I write it down, I look it up, and I enjoy the presence of that animal, that bird. You know, it's when I get an Oriole right in front of me that I stop and say, happiness is coming. It's, you know, if you see a cardinal, that's vitality. If you see a roadrunner, if you're in the Southwest, that's mental agility or the ability to sit, kind of multitask. So it's really a great energy to have. If you see a rabbit, Yeah, it's fear, but it's also fertility. It's also the ability to know defense, when to move, when not to move, when to move forward. If you have like a grasshopper that lands on you or near you or in your walkway, you do things a little different. You look different, possibly, but you definitely behave your eyes. Things get done in a different way than many people around you, and that's okay. Accept yourself for who and what you are and the way you do things. It's okay. Give yourself permission to do things differently. Lizards I've had, I'll be sitting outside, and I actually rescued a few lizards, and I swear they must have been brothers, from my pool. One of them ran away pretty quickly, but the other one just crawled up my arm, sat on my shoulder for some time. Lizards are looking in the shadows. It's dreams. It's dream time. They can visualize what's going to happen, and that's what's going to happen. So lizard energy is really good energy. I have a friend who has, all of a sudden, had snakes popping up all around him. And I just tell him, you're going through a transition. You're shedding your old skin. It's a good thing. Snakes have a lot of deep, deep, very spiritual meanings, not just transition. Now, that's a huge one. There's also the fact that snakes also are very related to healing. In fact, that's why they're part of the whole symbol of medicine. It's because they have that healing ability. They are connected with the kundalini, the creative energy, sexual energy. They have wisdom, their initiation. In Native American, they often will have a brave or whoever's being initiated go in a room with a bunch of rattlesnakes, and whoever can survive all the bites or survive being in a room with snakes and survive and not be afraid of the snakes is initiated and is quite the strong person for doing that. It's also rebirth. There is a symbol that is, the snake is eating its tail. So there's a cycle to life with snakes. So I think it's awesome that he has snakes. The other curious thing is in Chinese astrology, he actually is a snake. So he's getting back to his foundation is another way you can read that. Some of the other interesting things, a lot of people are very much into wolf. And wolves are a very powerful, powerful energy that is all about guardianship and ritual and loyalty and spirit. It is a very strong energy. I actually was blessed with having a visitation from a wolf when I was up in the White Mountains of Arizona. Now, at the time I went, there were no wolves in Arizona that were known. Yet he came into my campsite, stared directly at me for a good 5 minutes. It was amazing to have this beautiful wolf, totally wild, staring at me. It was almost like he was coming to get me. That was the beginning of my spiritual adventure, and that was back in the mid-90s. My dog broke the rope that was holding him, and he took off after the rope, the wolf, and I actually did too. So it was a very interesting experience. Now, if you do have a dog that is also protection, that's also loyalty. So that's a very good one to have around. Some of the more common ones, they can appear for you in nature. They can appear in dreams. And I get a lot of symbolism in my dreams with animals, and they do tend to come around. And in a recent dream, I actually had a cub, a bear cub, playing with a cobra, and they were playing. They weren't fighting. They were playing. Now, I found this very curious, for sure, to have a bear playing with a cobra, something you don't usually see in Arizona, either one. But bear is the awakening of the power of the unconscious. It's very much going within, connecting within, and trusting it. Cobra is heightened awareness and making sudden moves, decisions. And if you got a bear going after you, you have to make sudden decisions, that's for sure. But as I said, they really got the feeling that they were playing. Another animal that is kind of mysterious that showed up for me is actually a lynx. And I actually showed a picture of, I was able to take a picture of this lynx. And yes, they do come up from Mexico once in a while, but this time it was just strange. I mean, I've seen bobcats, but this was much larger than a bobcat I've ever seen. But both animals are related to secrets and the mystery of life. Darkness in the shadows find the answers. So if you get anything like this, you're great. Another one that a lot of people see around them is a crow or a raven. These are omens. These are wisdom. This is magic. Every time I see a raven or a crow, I say, thank you for the magic. Because I know there's something very magical happening around me. And they are the guardians. They are the ones leading the magic in. Eagle is another one that is huge for a lot of people. And they always are able to see the full picture, the big picture. They're messengers as well. And a lot of the time, if you know the basic behaviors of the animal that you're seeing in your dreams, physically, even if you keep hearing about the same animal, that animal spirit is with you. Like if you have a conversation with one person and they say ladybug, and then you go and on the radio they say ladybug, and then you're watching a show and they say, you're flipping around and all of a sudden you see, you know, a program on ladybugs. I would pay attention to ladybugs, which is good luck. It's a good omen. It's a very good omen. Dreams coming true. So if you know the basic behavior or any kind of mythology about the animal, you pretty much know what's going on. It can also help you even with your astrology sign. You know, lion is very much a parent, very good with kids, so they're very good with children. So if you're a Leo, you're good with kids. They like to have fun. Scorpion, very secretive, the hide in the dark, very powerful. They know how to use your stinger. You do not go up against a scorpion, physical or one that is a sign. But they tend to hide things. They're mysterious. They're very intuitive. They know what's going on without even knowing what's going on physically. They just have this very natural, innate talent of being very psychic. So if you know a lot about that, that helps. So the magic of and the teachings of the animals is very widespread. Just about every kind of religion has some kind of association with an animal. The Egyptians definitely do a lot with the hawk, and many other animals, actually the snake, definitely have the snake. The Mayans had many also. Snake is huge in pretty much all of them. Is a very powerful transformation sign. And it being the summer right now, a lot of them are more out. In fact, I was cleaning up my backyard and I found a baby king snake. So I was very happy to see him, because if you have a king snake, you most likely will not have rattlesnakes. And that's a good thing. The other thing that I also wanted to mention is Neptune is going into retrograde, and soon after that, so is Chiron. And they're very much in conjunction with each other, which basically means a heightened sense of dreaming, of your wounds coming up. So if there's any issues, you have basically been total denial, you don't want to deal with it, guess what, folks, over the next 6 months, it's going to be right in your face. It's time for you to deal with it and get it over with. If you have a fear of something, you most likely will be facing it within the next 6 months. This is till November, folks, so it's a long time. Both of them go direct on the same day, though they go a few days apart before they go into retrograde. So it is a time, again, of those final healing wounds that people are just hiding. So if you have any ideas, you know what you need to deal with. You can make it easy or you can make it hard. And as I told somebody earlier today, resistance is futile. It really is. Denial is just like, it doesn't exist anymore, folks. You can try and do it, but the universe is going to be really insistent on you paying attention. So I just wanted to make sure to mention that. And, you know, there's so many constellation stars with animals. It's so many. I mean, even Sag is half animal, half human. So it's understanding that the animal instinct within us and moving forward in all of it. So I just wanted to bring up the animal signs, because if you got questions, I do have a lot of them available, the meanings of them, on my website, angelsintuition.com. If you go into the shamanic stuff, the animal signs are in there, just a few. If there's something on there and you want to know, you can always do a search online. There is always really good. And I just recently noticed that there is a travel version of Ted Andrews' Animal Speaks. Is now available. It's $7 on Amazon. And it's a good thing to have around if you're looking for what's going on. If you see a deer, it's basically saying being gentle to yourself. If you see a bear, again, time for meditation, going within, hibernate. But it's also knowing and looking to see if you're isolating yourself too much and it's time to come out and play. I was definitely being told it's time to get out and play. I was hibernating too much. So, with all the energies and all the hints the universe is getting, it is very good to know and be aware that they are really showing you signs. And it's just being open to it. In the last few weeks, I've really, as I said, in the last couple of weeks, actually, the life review and how really blessed I am and the connections with the universe and really reaffirming my commitment and my devotion to serving people, serving humanity, and understanding the energy out is the energy back. If there's any way of learning universal law, you will be so much ahead of the game. And life is like a game. Once you know the rules, you can play along with the rules, and you can try and break them. But if they're universal laws, you really can't break them because they're just always there. So again, the phone lines are open. You are welcome to call in on any subject. And if you've got a question or if you want to talk about something, the phone lines are open definitely. And it is 877-876-5227. It's also 888-815-9756 are the two phone numbers to call in. I'd love to talk to someone, so if you got anything you want to talk about, please do call in. During this last week, and I most definitely will be talking more about this next week, I have been reading Stuart Wild's book, Grace, Gaia, and the End of Days. And it was very interesting to read his book. I look forward to having him on next week on June 4th. Stuart Wild will be live with us here. So if you know his work, if you know anybody who's studying him, please pass the word. He will be on. Most likely he will be taking calls. From what I hear from people, I have not seen him. I was really guided to have him on the show this time. So he's a blunt talker from what I hear. And from his books, he gets right to the nitty-gritty. He gets very direct, very blunt. This is the way it is, believe it or not. And I really do appreciate his style. There's no way of not understanding what he's saying. So I'm looking forward to it. And in this book, and the reason why I brought up this book, is he talks about sacred animals. The animals that are calling to you, to call you into your path. It can be a dog, it can be a cat. As things go along, you can have the wolf. You can have a tiger. You can have an eagle, a hawk. They're all sacred animals. It's just being aware that they're calling you out to play, to get on your path, and do what you need to do. And I've always had a really strong love for animals. So seeing an animal, I just went, wow. Now I feel very comfortable with them. It's, you know, a lot of people would not like having a lizard crawling all over them, especially a wild one. But my first pet was a horny toad. So lizards and me get along just fine. I have an older brother who had every kind of snake and lizard you can probably think of, so I've had a lot of experience with live animals. But in Stuart Wild's book, something that he mentions quite often is having respect for animals. Any animal, they are a living creature. They can teach you. They can heal you. They can bring many wisdoms to you in so many ways that can help you understand yourself. It is a fun subject to study. And as I said, Ted Andrews to me is, his books are awesome. And he has them now in audio as well as in written form. Mine are always nearby. In fact, they're in front of me now. There's Animal Speaks and there's Animal Wise. The Animal Wise has the more unusual animals. Animal Speak has the basic animals. But both of them are very, 300 and some pages. So there's a lot of information. He also teaches you how to connect with them. And a lot of ways to do it is if you find a feather. We have Christine from Arizona on line one. How you doing?
Pretty good, Jennifer. It's interesting listening to you talk about all the animals and even like the sloth, which we would think is a negative animal, is actually a brilliant animal.
Yes.
And what's another one that most people would go, oh, I don't want that animal, but when you read about it, it's like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. I mean, I always laugh at the sloth because sloth is just like a sloth. But when you read what the sloth does, it's amazing. I mean, the sloth works smart, not hard.
Right. Most definitely. I mean, another animal. Well, a lot of people don't like skunks.
Oh, yeah. Skunk stinks.
Or a rat. But believe it or not, skunks are very sensitive, sensual. They command respect and self-esteem. So if you have a skunk, check with your self-esteem, your self-confidence. Make sure you're showing respect to yourself as well as the other. And they're very, very peaceful, harmless, fearless animals. So they really are kind of tough cookies.
Okay, so now when you're looking at animals, like you're driving along a road, and you see an animal, you see a deer, you know, you see a predator bird up in the sky and all that stuff, should you take every animal as a sign? I mean, how can you tell that that animal was actually meant for you?
If it really catches your eye and resonates, uh-huh. Especially if you see it consistently, or if it's
like
an out of the blue,
seeing
a wolf in Arizona when there was no wolves known to be in Arizona, that you kind of have to notice.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
I mean, I look out my window, I see rabbits all the time. So rabbits, unless it's really doing something unusual to catch my attention, I don't pay too much attention to the rabbits. I say, hi, how you doing?
Wasn't it down in Tucson that I think it was a bobcat that came into the neighborhood?
Yeah, bobcats, we actually have a bobcat family in the area. So every once in a while, I see bobcats, so I know either I will figure out somebody else's secrets, or secrets will be revealed, or I need to keep a secret.
That's the bobcat?
Bobcat. Is secrets.
Oh. Okay. Now, do birds... Well, I know birds talk to each other. They have their own codes,
right,
and all that stuff. But do animals talk to people? I know that sounds like an elementary question, but do they really talk to people? Jen? Hello?
BBSRadio.com.
Hi, everybody. It is Mercury retrograde, and things happen in communication. I had accidentally hit my mute button, so I apologize for that. Christine, are you still with us?
You know, I still am. I was just, like, thinking that's that Mercury retrograde, but
yeah,
it was that mute button.
Yes, I didn't even realize I really had this on, and then I looked at it, and something just told me to check it, and it was blinking, so obviously that was it.
Okay, I know that people, like, there's, like, psychic pet people, animal people. So, you know, I actually answered my own question just by saying that animals do communicate with people.
Oh, yes, I do animal readings myself.
Yeah, I know you do. So, since Sarah has crossed over, can you tap into her? Sarah is a white Siberian husky.
Who I know very well, and she's just smiling.
Is she with anybody?
Well, she's still with you in spirit.
Of course.
She's, like, just running around. She's got so many people welcoming her. She is happy. She's healthy. Her energy is just very uplifting. She's in pure joy.
Like a teenager again.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Oh, definitely. She wants you to know she thanks you. She knows that it took a lot of courage on your part to do what you did to release her from her pain. And she does want you to know that she will come back to you in a different form. Or more so, back to Alan in another form.
Okay. Do you pick up on any other pets?
Are you wondering about your Akita?
Of course I am.
She's always with you. You talk to her all the time and you know it.
Yeah.
She's happy. Is she with Sarah? I'm not necessarily seeing these two together yet. I think eventually they will be. But like I said, Sarah's just like running all over the place. She's just going to people to people, to animal to animal. She's just like in such a fun place.
Good thing.
It's a very good thing.
Now, do you believe that it's good to euthanize an animal?
Yes. I think it's actually, I'll go out on a limb, I think it's okay to do it to people if they're suffering. If they've had a long life and they know it's they've had and done everything they had and they're in pain, I don't see any problem with it. So definitely for animals, they might not have a physical voice to say, I'm in pain, let me go.
Right.
But they show you.
Oh, absolutely. They do. I mean, before Sarah passed away, she would cry and let out a few little yelps because she hurt so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just nothing that we could do except just make her as comfortable as possible.
Right.
So it was almost like canine hospice.
Yes, and that's basically, you know, when a dog gets up in age, they need the same care as this human, really. And it's just knowing the right time. I know you know this story. I had an Akita, and I noticed that he was losing weight, and he wouldn't go for walks very much. But when he did, he always go to the front of this church that's nearby. And there was three walks that he went on before I put him down. And each time he went to the church, the first two times, the church door would not open. It was locked. The third time, it wasn't. And we opened it, and there was a man inside that said, please come in. And I said, even the dog? And he says, especially the dog. So to me, that was just a really telling sign that it was time to let the dog go into the hands of God. And the next day, that was a Sunday actually, the next day I made the appointment, and it was just a couple days later. that buck was euthanized. And he went in to the vet with the biggest smile on his face, and he had cancer all through him. And I knew there was something up, and the vets didn't catch it. And once a dog gets cancer, they really can't do too much. They can, so it's just best to, as you said, hospice. Make them comfortable, but pay attention. I mean, that was a very clear sign that this animal is ready to go. Having him walk into a church, he got a drink of water. He felt very welcome and loved, and I knew he was going to a good place. So Sarah's in a really good place. Nana is in a good place. There's so many beautiful things about animals and what they can give. I mean, there's a beautiful poem, and you can probably find it on the internet, called The Rainbow Bridge. And it is specifically for people who have lost an animal or had to let them go. And it really is a very touching poem about, you know, they're just on the other side of the bridge and they're waiting for you. So you guys can go play and walk and be together again. So it's very healing, and to understand that they do have feelings, to respect their wishes, to understand that they're here to help you. It's, at times it's good to help them right back.
Yeah.
And I know you did everything you could for Sarah, and she is very, very grateful for everything you have done.
You know, but you still have those pains of, like, could I have done more? You know, if money wasn't the issue, would she still be here? And then, actually, I'm hearing no.
No.
Because of the cancer.
And even if, you had the money and you were able to do, like, therapy and surgeries and all that, would you want them to go through that pain?
Well, yeah. No, I heard her clearly. I heard absolutely not. And actually, if you can pick up on this, there's stubbornness about her that she would not have agreed to it, and she would not have consented to it, and she would not have liked it. The way she lived the last year of her life is how she wanted it.
Yes.
Oh, and keep, you have helped so much.
Just keep remember that. You know, it's great that, you know, we were blessed by knowing Sarah, because I've met Sarah.
Yeah.
We used to talk on the phone, literally, huh?
Yeah, she'd always, Even in fact, everybody, she would hear Jennifer's voice on the telephone, and then I could not talk to Jennifer anymore, because it was now a Jennifer and Sarah conversation. And Sarah would howl to her.
Yes, we'd howl back and forth to each other. It was very fun, and I will miss doing that.
Oh, no, she'll see you still. You'll hear her in your dreams.
Oh, I'm sure. I you know, you just follow your intuition, and it was just yesterday I sent Chris a big hug, and I didn't know why, but Spirit said, just give her a big hug. And it was a couple days ago that she euthanized Sarah, and she was still kind of in that shock that Sarah was really gone. And so it's, you follow your guts and always make sure you let people know around you how much you love them and appreciate them, animals and people. Because it makes a difference. You can let them go knowing that you did everything you did was all you could do, and you really did, Chris.
Yeah, I was able to let her know. How
you let her know every day.
Shoot. Okay, now this is superstitious, but if you see a dead sparrow, is that really bad?
there is a lot of mythology against, you know, if you hear an owl when you're about to give birth, it means something. Or if you hear an owl and somebody's sick, they're going to die. Only if you give them power. Like, if I saw a dead sparrow, basically I would wonder if I'm really prepared, as prepared, and am I using all my resources to the best of their ability? Because sparrow is really about being prepared, believe it or not. So if I saw a dead one, I'd say, okay, there's something I need to look at. I'm double-checking on sparrow to see.
I
don't know exactly what a dead sparrow means through superstition or myth, so I can't say yay or nay.
Right.
I can only tell you if I saw one, I would try and make sure that I'm using all my resources to the best of my ability. Kind of go over the budget, go over the money situation, go over my schedule, see if I'm using my time wisely. That's the kind of thing I would do. But it's like a lot of people kind of don't count dead animals, but
if you just see one, oh well, but then if you start seeing them all over the place, then you better check to see how many trees there are and what season it is.
Right.
So, because there's so much, you know, behind it. But see, I do that, you know. I tend to debunk so much stuff. And yet here I am being freaked out over a dead baby sparrow.
But it's also the cycle of life. If he wasn't strong enough to live, with death comes rebirth. It's another symbol. With any kind of death, you can think of rebirth.
That's true. Actually, I think it was one of those cowbirds that knocked it out of its nest.
Aww. The cowbirds, they're just mean birds. They can be very mean.
Yeah. So, well, I pretty much have gotten closure. Thank you so much.
Well, you know that Sarah's with you always. And as is your Akita, Nene.
And then there's Panda Bear.
Panda Bear. All your animals are still with you. They're your protectors as well. I mean, a lot of people, when you say, okay, who's with me, they always want to know the people. It's rare when if anybody wants to know if an animal is around them, but there's always animals around. Generally, you have 12 to 13 animals that are always with you. Sometimes you have more, but you always have at least 12.
This is crazy, because then if you start thinking about, you know, those bars that are like the Matrix, the energy bars?
Right.
Energy bar vibrations?
Right.
Okay. So, you know, they run and connect everything together.
Right.
This is going to sound far-fetched, but sometimes I just feel like we're a bunch of pixels.
We are.
I was teasing. But,
wait till next week. You realize we are.
Okay,
if you think about all the universes and all the galaxies and all the stars. Just a pixel.
So, you know, a dozen animals around you all the time, and then you've got your guardian angels around you all the time, and then you've got your grandmas and grandpas and people jumping in all the time. It's busier on the other side than it is here.
Yeah, in one of the people that I had on, Scott from the Daily Ohm, he literally says that it's so crowded it's hard to move, because there's so many spirits on the other side, and a lot of them are waiting to come over on this side. And there's a lot of them who are just guarding or helping the other ones that are down here. So it's a busy place over there.
Can you jump from animal to human?
Yes.
Oh, good. I can't remember who it was, but someone told me that, maybe I already told you this, someone told me that my biological grandpa on my mama's side is going to re-enter and be my grandchild.
Probably. He's waiting in line.
Okay, and he's waiting in line? You have to wait in line?
Well, you have to wait till there's a pregnancy, and that's what I mean by waiting in line. He's waiting for the pregnancy.
Well, okay. So whichever one of my daughters gets pregnant first.
Most likely, I'm getting that he's coming back as a boy.
Okay, I said a boy too, and the lady kept saying, no, it's a girl, but I go, oh no, it's a boy because I already know the name.
Right.
But I just don't know if it's Melissa or if it's Cindy.
And they're not showing me, so I'm not going to be able to tell you.
Oh, man, come on.
You know, I can only tell you what they're showing me, and they're not showing me.
Oh, it's Melissa. It could be Cindy, but I get a stronger... It's going to be really interesting, and it's going to be within 2 years?
I'm getting... It may even be before the end of this year.
Oh, that's just not possible. Oh, well...
Anything is possible, dear.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, unless they're already pregnant, they just don't know it.
No. I'm not saying the actual birth... But the actual pregnancy starting could be by the end of this year.
Actually, I'm getting a strong yes on that, that it is intended to be quite the mind blower for the mommy.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just kidding. That's going to be quite a surprise. Out of the blue, beautiful.
Except for Auntie Jen and Grandma. Oh, shame on us. See what we're manifesting? Okay.
I see nothing wrong with manifesting.
I'm going to get off the phone so if anybody wants to call in. They better. They got like 5 minutes.
Yeah, 5 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, well. Sorry, guys. But, No.
You know, as far as I know, there's nobody else waiting in line, so you're fine.
Okay, yeah. That's right, because then you went off the air involuntarily.
Yes.
That was
voluntarily
funny.
Involuntarily. So.
I wonder who's that. Just Jennifer. See, when things like that happen, is there a reason? Or is it just
you? I just needed to get back on track, because obviously I was off. Literally. And all you can do is laugh and say, isn't live radio fun?
So Wolf Eagle, which is my brand.
Yes.
And you were talking about logos, and you're doing logos and
right.
All this stuff. And I was going to ask you earlier, what could I do with Wolf Eagle?
You mean logo-wise or in what way? Or using that energy?
Or both, because it's all...
I'll talk to you later about the logos, but there's a way of combining them. But as for the eagle is illumination of spirit, healing, and creation is the overall meaning of it.
Uh-huh.
So with that, you are trying to illuminate. With all your products, they're pretty healing in most sense, aren't they?
Yeah.
So you got the healing energy, so I'd focus on that energy. And then you got protection and guardianship with the wolf. So that's pretty awesome as well. So you're protecting people's health.
Protection, guardianship, and healing.
Yeah, you got loyalty, you got spirit on both of them. So spirit's very much a part of the energy within those two. Plus, both of those are such strong Native American icons of healing, of protection, of vision, of spirit. So you really have a very strong energy when combining those two.
One is air and one is ground. When a person needs to go ground themselves, can they ground themselves inside the house, or should you go outside and stand on dirt?
Going standing on dirt is great. Or if you're near the ocean, stand in the ocean. If you've got a swimming pool, just stand in a swimming pool is very grounding. But if you're inside, you can ground yourself. You can do it just verbally and just see yourself reconnecting with Mother Earth.
Even through the concrete?
Even through the concrete.
I did not know you could do that. Now, would you put salt, or would you burn sage, or...
There's a lot of different ways.
Stand, basically, stand and focus on grounding.
Just mainly what you want to do is, if I'm really scattered, I will drink sea salt water, which is just regular pure water with a pinch of sea salt in it, with the intention that I'm grounding myself, clearing out energy that is not mine, and grounding. That helps tremendously.
Are you thinking like an eighth of a teaspoon?
Just a pinch.
Just
a pinch of salt.
Okay.
I tend to put more salt in it because I like the taste of salt. So that's me. I need the potassium, I think, out of it. Anyway, the other thing you can do is you can take a shower and just run the water over you and say, ground my energy. You can take a sea salt bath. It's very grounding.
I've done the sea salt bath.
Mm-hmm.
But
standing on dirt is great. Hug your tree. If you have got a tree, they're great for grounding as well. Even just touching a plant can be very grounding.
Now, what's the science behind this?
What do you mean, science? What's the proof that this helps?
Well,
or what?
Like in the ocean, I was thinking, okay, the ocean is filled with ions and minerals and
sea salt.
That would work. Okay, the sea salt. And then a plant, which is chloroform, and
it has roots.
And it has the roots.
That's the basic thing. Anything with roots is going to be grounding because it's within the ground.
Now, a tree absorbs energy. It will take your negative energy and recycle it like oxygen.
Yes.
And it doesn't hurt the tree.
Not at all.
I know. That's weird.
That's a blessing.
I mean,
that's
your
gift back to man. We give them what they need to use to fill their leaves with nutrients, and they help us. So it's definitely a balance for both of us. So with that, Chris, we've got about a minute left.
Oh, sorry.
So I'm going to say thank you once again. You always ask interesting questions. It's always great to have a conversation with you. So I thank you very much, and my condolences and blessings on the transition.
I'm happy for Sarah.
Yes.
So much, and I love you.
Love you. You guys take care.
All right.
And next week, I do want is if you want more information on the animals, again, angelsintuition.com. Next week, we have Stuart Wild will be on. We will be discussing his book, Grace, Gaia, and the End of Days. It is a wonderful book. I highly recommend it. And until then, with each breath of air, we hope you gain new insights and information. Until then, many blessings and good night.